p.m. Eastern Time, your second daily dose of happy for the day. And I am happy, and I think Wendy's happy. I know we are because we were laughing before we started the call today. So we're in a good shape. We hope you're in a good shape, too. And we are moving on to the next section of the book. We're on Law of Attraction, the Basics of the Teachings of Abraham. We're on Section 2, and we're going to be talking about our inner being and how it communicates through emotion, which is a big topic. We could probably spend four or five shows on this, Wendy, but we only have one. So we got to do it in one. I think we can pull that off. But so how's it going? How are things going at your end?
Things are great. I have two things I'd love to share.
Okay.
The first one, because, you know, we always talk about what's great and what's, you know, what are our wins in our life and our day.
Right.
I had lunch today with a friend of mine, and something I don't get a chance to do very often, but since we've been doing this show, it's the first time I left my house, and when I came home, I had to get home in time to do the show, because, you know, normally I work from home, so there's no, like, commute. I'm
right.
just here. And so I kind of set a cutoff time that I needed to leave by 3 Eastern, and I figured that gave me about 45 to 50 minutes to get home, and really it's only about a 35-minute drive. Well, I headed out maybe 5 minutes after the hour, which I thought, oh, no big deal. I've built in extra time. And I was going through a part of town that has a ton of construction, and I don't drive through that part of Dallas very often, and driving there was kind of a breeze. So it hadn't dawned on me that the flow of traffic going the opposite direction might be where, like, the big bulk of construction is.
Okay.
And so I really hadn't considered that. And all of a sudden I recognized, oops, there's a lot of construction going on. And I swear to God, every semi-truck that could possibly be there to obstruct my view so I could see how far things were, you know, so I could get a gauge for where am I in the process, was completely blocking my view, so I couldn't see anything. Well, I will tell you, Walt, in the past, this is the kind of thing that would just create so much frustration in me, and I would start just developing a lot of anxiety, and I'd be really concerned about the time limit, and I'd be looking at my watch, I'd be looking at the clock on my dashboard, I'd be trying to gauge, you know, how fast are we moving, and I mean, down to the how many miles have we moved in the last minute and a half, which
oh,
is bad. But what I noticed today is none of that was present.
Oh, nice.
I felt totally at ease, and I didn't have to effort to say this internally, but I would just say to myself, it's all good. Like, law of attraction is working for me. My inner being totally knows where I am, what the construction ahead is, and what time I need to be home. And so it'll all work one way or another. It's all good. So as I finally get to kind of a clear point, I was like, woohoo! Well, all of a sudden, I had to decide whether to go east or west. Well, I'll be honest. I know where I live, but I never pay attention to the signs. I just know I always take the part of the road that goes to the right. So I just naturally followed that, mentally thinking, but it's telling me if I do that, I'm going west, which is opposite of how this used to be before the construction was there, and sure enough, it put me going in the wrong direction.
Oh.
And again, in the past, I would have freaked out. It would have, like, increased my anxiety. Instead, I went, oh, well, I guess my inner being knew I had plenty of time to take the scenic route and get a better, you know, view of how the construction flow is happening.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm.
So I literally end up back at the same intersection I had already been through once before, because I'm going in a circle. You know, I make my left turn, and I'm like, okay, now there's all these semi-trucks, billboards. I can't see beyond them. And I thought, okay, well, this time I absolutely know I take the sign that says east and it goes to the left, even though that makes no logical sense to me. So I get to that point. I take the left, and I'm like, woohoo! I thought it was clear sailing, but no. As I'm entering the highway, it's literally at a dead stop.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sitting in the right lane, and I'm like, I know I'm going to be having to exit right, and I don't know how far up it is because I can't even see anything. And I'm sitting, and I'm sitting, and I'm barely moving. I mean, creeping like 1 mile an hour, you know, and I'm like, la, 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 la. But I'm listening to Abraham in the car. And I'm like, okay, it's all good. And I mean, really, there was no anxiety. Like, I have more anxiety in me now as I'm talking about it, and it's not really anxious, it's just nervous energy. But I was really kind of shocked at how at peace I was. And every now and then I'd look at my clock and I go, well, I'm going to make it probably, hopefully, just in time. And then there was a sense of move to the middle lane. And I thought, well, I guess if I move to the middle lane, I'll be able to get back to the right. So I moved to the middle lane. And then the next impulse comes, move all the way to the left lane. And I'm thinking, well, now I'm going to have to make two changes to the right. This might make it harder, but I'm like, I'm going to follow my impulse. So I went to the left, and now I finally can see a sign that says what I need is one exit 1/2 mile up ahead and to the right.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw it, and my inner impulse said, blow off that exit.
Really?
And I'm like, okay, well, not quite sure where I'm going to land, but I'm going to follow the guidance that comes to me. So I blew it off, and as I was passing the exit, it was such a, like, not even stop and go. It was just stop traffic for the longest length, and it probably would have taken 15 minutes to have made a left turn.
Wow.
And instead, I'm flying now at 50, 60 miles an hour, and what I was trying to not do was go through downtown Dallas.
Right.
And this time, downtown Dallas was a breeze.
Wow.
I literally pulled into my driveway with 2 minutes to spare.
Oh, my goodness. Whoa.
And I was laughing like the last 15 minutes of my drive, and I was getting to really drive fast, and it was clear the traffic, you know, wasn't obstructing me. And at one point, I'm like, okay, let's play. And I hit my accelerator, and my Jaguar has a lot of power under the hood, and I, like, got up to 90 miles an hour and, you know, maneuvered some things and then slowed down. And I went, you know, my inner being knows I really get a thrill out of that. That's my roller coaster ride.
Mm-hmm.
I love to drive fast when there's no traffic, and I kind of like to cut it down to the wire, like I did. There is something thrilling in that for me. But the difference was it was thrilling minus the anxiety.
Well, that's good.
It was just a peaceful ride home, and the whole thing was fun. And I went, I so can trust that my inner being always gives me the right guidance and gives me exactly what I want, which was a thrill ride. And that's what I got.
I'm so glad that you were able to have a fun ride out of it, because honestly, when you were starting to tell that story, I know you said you were in Dallas, Texas, but there was a piece of me in the back of my head saying that she was actually from Maine, and the highway was saying, you can't get there from here.
Well, I got here. I did. So I do have something else I want to share, but
sure.
Do you have a win today that you want to talk about?
Oh, geez, I have a number of wins I've been working on, but lately I don't have a full, complete thing to report yet. But I've been working on eliminating these little annoying mini drops of sound that we've had periodically. We got rid of most of them, but there's a few that just kind of insist on hanging around. So I've been messing around with different alternative ways of connecting people in. And I may have found one. I may have figured out a way to use a conference calling platform to hook in to the radio show. Now, I don't have anything to report on that yet. I don't want to say that it's ready to go, but I got to tell you, the initial test results look pretty darn good. So I'm pretty psyched about that. And that's going to be, yeah, that's going to be just in time, too, because we've got the new additional show we're adding next Tuesday evening, the 9 to 10 p.m. time slot for people who want to call in. That's one of the motivations for me to do this, to give people an easy way to call in and be a part of the show. We can actually have a queue of people and so forth, and I can actually select, okay, this is the person who's coming in next, and that person's on hold, but they're listening to the show. I mean, that's ideal, right? Well, that's what a conference calling platform does. I'm thinking, why didn't anybody ever combine? No, can you believe this, Wendy? I mean, I have been looking like crazy. There is not a single online radio station software out there that combines what they have with a conference call. I can't believe nobody's figured this out.
That's why I said you are the brilliant, genius creator and innovator of new tech. I love it.
I did talk to one and suggest to them, this is a relative startup, I suggested to them they should do that, and they said, that's a great idea. And then they said, we'll get back to you about that. I figured, well, I may not be hearing from them for a while. But I tell you, I mean, if there's anybody out there who's got a bunch of money to invest, you know, call me up, we'll get together, we'll do this thing, and I'm telling you, we're going to clean up in this market, because there are podcasts out there that would just die for a solution that would enable them to take in phone calls from listeners and have co-hosts and have it all queued together, because literally, I have found one out there, and let me tell you, Wendy, it's expensive as heck. I mean, you spend hundreds of dollars a month if you do, like, a daily show. And, you know, who needs that for a call platform? So, I mean, there's an opportunity here. Right. It's a great big marketing opportunity. So, is the phone ringing? I don't hear the phone ringing. What's going on?
There's a great income opportunity for you if you develop this with somebody.
I actually have thought about talking to some of the online radio stations that have an affiliate program and say, you know, like, I'd be happy to resell your stuff, but I really think we should add a conferencing platform and see how many of them actually hang up on me and see if any of them say, you know what, that's a good idea. Let's do that.
Hey, if the thought came to you and it feels good, follow it.
Yeah, that's right. You never know. You just never know.
I love that. So here's my other story. It's kind of a continuation of what I've been talking about the last couple of days, where it started with a coworker of mine who kind of blew off a meeting that we were supposed to have. And then I felt like this coworker, you know, we'll call her, you know, person A.
Right.
That person A had what I considered a very flimsy excuse. It might have been valid to her, but it just felt kind of flimsy to me. Not to mention, this is a repeated pattern that has happened numerous times. And so, you know, what we talked about on the show the other day was how it's not where it's something where I'm required to say or do something with her to change her behavior, because her behavior is her business. And my response to her behavior is my business.
Absolutely.
So I take that seriously, because this is not the first time this type of thing has happened. It's not like person A is the first person who's ever prompted these responses in me. And so I took it to heart, and we worked on it a little bit that day on the show, and, you know, we were bouncing around a few ideas, and you were asking about consequences, and that's when we learned that I have a different definition, but I'm starting to really like yours, by the way.
Oh, good.
You know, consequences meaning basically whatever end result there is. It doesn't have to mean negative.
That's right.
And so at that time, the word responsibility was kind of popping into my understanding. So I knew that that was kind of where I needed to start searching. So that night, I kind of, you know, sat in a quiet place and just internally was asking some questions and asking about how it felt. And I got a little bit of progress, but I didn't get a whole lot. And so what I found really cool is every now and then when I think about it, I just kind of throw it out to the universe, like I really am seriously interested in getting a sense of resolve with this, because I'd like this pattern to end. And that's about as much time as I spent on it. Well, this morning, as I was waking up, all of a sudden, some new insight was popping for me. So I just kind of followed it. And as a new piece of information would come, I'd grab my cell phone and use the voice to text, and I would, like, send myself an email.
Yeah.
And I called it clearing exercise.
Okay.
And then all of a sudden I'd lay back down and I'd get another piece of insight. So another one, clearing exercise part two. Well, I went through part five.
Oh, okay.
And I maybe at the end of it, I'll just have to like settle into it and see. But here's what I find most fascinating. And I'm hoping that those who are listening will find this fascinating as well. That as I was digging in and asking questions, Abraham likes to say that you don't have to go back into your past to find the answers. You can start with whatever present thing you've created and start there. And if it lands, you know, if it you find that it originated in the past, so be it. But you don't have to, like, dig out your past to go locate it. So I started with the current situation, and I was just asking, how does this feel? So I'd get an answer, and it's like, and what does that make you feel? And I get an answer. I'm like, and what does that make you feel? Well, as I was kind of pulling it apart, I was sensing that I knew that when person A was providing this excuse, I knew it was an excuse. And I knew it wasn't, it was a legit excuse, and yet I felt that there was so much efforting in person A's expression of it that I started asking myself, what is it about how person A is expressing this that bothered me? And I started to recognize it felt as though person A was wanting me to let them off the hook and not question them any further about why they allow these things to continue to happen. And I felt as though person A wasn't really taking ownership for how person A was allowing this to happen.
Oh, sure.
But somehow wanted me to kind of validate that it was okay that these things happened.
Yeah.
And the fact that person A should somehow, like, let that and make that okay and be let that just be acceptable. And when I got to that point in my own exploration, I went, ooh, there is something about that feels kind of familiar.
Mm.
So I said, what about that's familiar? And now, golly jeepers, Mom, if you're listening, sorry, but here's what my reality is. When my mother wanted to get a divorce from my father, she couldn't just say, I'm getting a divorce. She pulled together all four of us kids and said, here are all the reasons why staying married to your father is excruciating for me.
Uh-huh.
And so, but I don't want to hurt any of you kids.
Right.
And so I won't get a divorce if you don't think it's okay. Like, I really need all four of you to sign off on this. I need all four of you to give me your blessing for me to be okay with divorcing your father. Well, what that did is it put all four of us kids in a catch-22
in
a double bind.
Very much so.
Because she's already built this incredible story about how miserable she is and how much internal pain she experiences by staying with him. And she's, of course, made him out to be this horrible bad guy, so now we all hate him. Because we love our mom, and, you know, why would she lie to us?
Right, right.
And so we all think, oh, yes, we don't want our mother to stay with someone who's gruesome like this. By the way, he wasn't that bad, but that was how she built it up.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're now supposed to say, yes, of course, Mom, we agree with you. You should divorce him so you can be happy. But here's the irony. The religion that we grew up in didn't believe in divorce.
Ooh, oh, yeah, that makes it a little tricky, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So now we all have to kind of turn our back on everything she's taught us about our religious beliefs, and we're supposed to make an exception for her.
Mm-hmm.
And so there again is another double bind. Do we stick with our religious beliefs that we now believe in, or do we turn our back on them? Because if we turn our back on, if we say, no, Mom, you got to stick with him because the religion says you got to stay, well, now we all get to experience tons of guilt because we're making our mother be in pain, emotional pain.
Mm-hmm.
So this is what the familiarity was, because I went, this is what this felt like to me. It reminded me of the situation.
Yeah.
And I went, because even though person A, just she did something so minor compared to what happened with my mom.
Mm-hmm.
It was just simply she missed an appointment and 55 minutes later went, oops, sorry, I missed it, and here's the reason why. What came into the deep part of my understanding was just like my mother wanted us kids who, mind you, I was the oldest. I was 28 at the time. And the youngest one was like 19.
Mm-hmm.
My mother wanted us kids to validate that it was okay for her to do something. She didn't trust that because she felt she wanted to get a divorce, that was not acceptable enough for her to just make the decision. She couldn't just decide because she decided. She required someone outside of herself to validate her taking this action.
Right. Yep.
And in this way, she was advocating her complete responsibility that this was really her sole decision to make.
Exactly, yes.
So that's where, when I said I was getting something about responsibility, this is where the responsibility piece fit in. Mom was wanting to advocate her responsibility to us kids. Well, now back to the situation with my coworker, person A. In a sense, this coworker wanted me to validate, and this is what I have felt every time person A has blown me off or had a litany of excuses,
mm-hmm.
I have felt as though what person A's expectation is of me is to validate and confirm, really, it's not a big deal. It's fine that you did this. And what didn't feel good to me was several things. One, I don't want to be responsible for person A's responsibility.
I don't blame you. I wouldn't either.
And I even noticed was it today? Yeah, it was today. I had a completely different coworker blow something off, and it felt very different. And I went, why does this feel so different? Because this is kind of the same thing like the person A did, and now person B is doing it, and it's no biggie. And I went, because person B owns their responsibility and said, I blew it. I booked something else on top of our appointment because I forgot to put our appointment on the calendar.
Mm.
And because that person B took full responsibility for their part in this, it's like, yeah, I was disappointed, but it was something that I could get over easily. But it wasn't this niggling feeling in me like I have with person A.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
Person A's situation, it was just charged with all this deflection of personal responsibility. And looking outside of person A's self to validate. And so I sat with that. I think at that point I had sent myself 4 emails on part 1, 2, 3, and 4. And then I went and I got up and I'm brushing my teeth and all of a sudden I'm like, oh, here's more information. So I start sending myself another email. And this one was about, I had a new understanding, because now I was asking the question, okay, well, this feels like I'm really getting somewhere. But in all of this, where is my inner being standpoint? What is it that I didn't know when I was going through this with my mom when I was younger? And by the way, this kind of thing happened multiple times growing up. It's just the one with the divorce is the big one that's easy to see. And so I was just asking, well, what does my inner being think about this? Or where was I in the whole thing? Or what would have been more appropriate? Because I started to recognize that because of how I grew up, I had been trained to, by watching my mother, to not trust the internal intuitiveness that she was receiving, because she looked outside of herself to validate everything, practically. And so the insight that I got was that this is where I started to learn to not trust my intuition.
Oh.
In other words, my intuition was really strong, and I knew what I knew from a very early age. But by being in my family environment where there was so much of don't trust your intuition, don't trust your gut feel, it caused me to doubt what I knew. And in the situation with mom saying, hey, kids, would you please give your blessing to the divorce? It's like none of us 4 kids felt like we could openly and honestly say to her what we really thought, which is, this is not our decision to make. You're a grown woman. Make your own decision. We'll love you no matter what, but make your own decision. But none of us felt like we could say that because we had grown up in an environment where that was not acceptable.
Yeah.
And so kind of going back to coworker person A, the reason I've never said anything is because I've had this hush order put on me from way back when, that when this situation occurs, you can't actually say anything. You can't tell someone how you really feel. You just have to live with it and deal with it. And I went, wow. So that in itself was very fascinating for me to like explore. But then here's the big thing that showed up for me that I'm so delighted about. I started asking, so I know that when you have a situation ever in your life that doesn't feel good, that's what Abraham calls step one, asking.
Mm.
In the moment you experience something you don't like, you are asking for what you prefer. So I said, what was I asking for all those times growing up that I was put in this double bind position that felt so uncomfortable for me. And what came to me is like so exciting, Walt. The understanding I had was, so I recognized I knew what I knew, even as a little one. I knew when I was 29 years old and Mom was asking for my blessing, I knew that was an inappropriate ask on her part. And I wanted to say what I really thought. My gut said, this is not my business to make this decision. This is hers.
That's a big breakthrough.
But because I didn't give a response, it caused me to deny my own inner being's internal guidance. Every time I denied my own inner being's guidance, all of the intuitive knowingnesses that I've had over the years that I've denied, it didn't feel good. And my ask was to become so strong and powerful in my knowing that I would never doubt ever again when my inner being speaks. And
that's
I went,
great.
Wow,
yeah,
that's
very
who
nice.
I am today.
And you proved it with your earlier story because you were talking about how your inner being was saying, go in the left lane, go in the left lane. And you're saying, what? The exit's over there.
And I trust. And I recognize when I sent myself email part five.
Part five.
I said, today, because of the intensity of how I denied what I knew, my ask was so powerful that I wanted to never again doubt what I know. And that when I know it, I will follow it without question.
Fantastic.
Now, it may have taken me 50 years.
Hey,
but
you got
I'm
there.
Here.
You got
and
there.
I don't doubt. And when I get into it is what it is, and I know it, and I don't question it.
That's really
and
fantastic.
Like, oh, thank you, Mom. Yeah, but I have such appreciation right now today, even as we're speaking, for having lived through all of those years of doubting my inner being. Why? Because to the equal and opposite extreme and intensity, I have, if you will, the preference now.
Mm.
I'm now living in the preference. I no longer live in the second guessing. I don't doubt. When I get a nudge, boom, I go for it. It's like, oh.
That's really great.
That's really powerful.
Yeah. Well done. You
Thank
got
you.
There. Yeah, fantastic. That's a good breakthrough right there. That's a big
it
one.
It feels phenomenal. And I'll tell you, the next time this happens with person A, it may not happen again because it's no longer an issue for me.
Possibly.
Or because person A hasn't changed, it may happen again. But I have a feeling I'm going to have a voice this time.
I think you will. And that's
And I don't
wonderful.
Have to be ugly.
No.
I can just say, you know what? You've missed your window of opportunity, I guess I won't be able to share that with you.
Oh, I love it. Oh, I love it. I love
and
it.
Because it's not, because I recognize it's not my business to allow her own personal consequences for what it is like when person A is not taking full responsibility for their own actions. But I have in the process taken responsibility for how I respond, and that's my part.
Exactly.
And now
right.
Person A gets to handle their part or not.
There it is. There it is. Beautifully done. Beautifully done. I love it. That's
so
really good.
I wanted
good.
You to know that your word consequence did kind of seep into this process for me.
Oh, good.
Causing me to realize, wow, in a sense, because of how I've been trained, I didn't allow her to even recognize that there were any consequences to blowing me off or to any of the excuses.
That's right. Yeah.
Because I always made it be okay, and I just went, okay, well, we'll reschedule it.
It's funny, too, how often, you know, we think about consequences, but when you actually get to the consequences, they're not that terrible. They're just, you know, this is what A follows is followed with B. That's all there is to it. B follows A. It's just the way stuff works. And then,
And in a way, my responses on one level have been appropriate because I have not even responded to talking about any of the excuse. I just did a reschedule.
Very
so
good.
So it's like I didn't get involved in person A's business, but I had been aware that I didn't like how it felt, and it was still feeling icky for me. And I know when it something feels icky, there's something for me to work on. And I did.
It's amazing. It's not really amazing because it's happened so many times, but it's amazing how often when we tell these wins and we tell these stories, they tie directly into what the topic is. I mean, this is like, this is a direct connection. I mean, how much more direct do you want? My inner being communicates through emotion. What have we been talking about?
That is cool, isn't it?
It is cool. I mean, that is, it's not like we planned that, oh, we're going to do it on this day when Wendy has a story to tell. This is just the next one that was coming up. But there it is. My inner being communicates through emotion. That's, I mean, holy cow.
See, and I kind of think that the universe already knows all this stuff in advance and beautifully orchestrates things so that there is that level of synchronicity that we can get such pleasure out of.
I think you're right. I think that's what happens. So I think we should probably dive into it. What do you think?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right.
I think we already dove.
We did, yeah. Well, we're going to start explaining what happened here through what Abraham teaches us. So reading from the book, it says, "You are much more than you see here in your physical body. For while you are indeed a wondrous physical creator, you exist simultaneously in another dimension. There is a part of you, a non-physical part of you, we call it your inner being, that exists right now while you are here in this physical body. Your emotions are your physical indication of your relationship with your inner being. In other words, as you are focused upon a subject and have your specific perspective and opinion about it, your inner being is also focused upon it and has a perspective and opinion about it as well. The emotions that you feel are your indication of the match or mismatch of those opinions. For example, something may have happened and your current opinion of yourself is that you should have done better or that you are not smart or that you are unworthy. And since the current opinion of your inner being is that you are doing fine and you are smart and eternally worthy, there is a definite mismatch in these opinions. And you would feel this mismatch in the form of negative emotion. On the other hand, when you feel proud of yourself or love yourself or someone else, your current opinion is a much closer match to what your inner being is feeling in the moment. And in that case, you would feel the positive emotions of pride, love, or appreciation." And as I'm reading that, it strikes me, you know, first of all, what you went through, what you described in your stories there were very powerful, emotionally speaking. I mean, they carried with you for decades. You had this huge, huge breakthrough that was also emotionally connected. And when you were done with it, you felt great. You described it as this really great breakthrough. So you slid directly into that alignment that they're talking about between the inner being and your physical being. I mean, mm-hmm. That's like, there it is. It's right there. Exactly what you did.
So and the process that I took is pretty much the process I've been using in myself to positively change negative feelings into positive feelings, and which is literally nothing more than okay, that's making it sound really, really simple, because sometimes it takes some effort. Effort's not the right word. It takes a little bit of time to get the clarity. But I ask questions. I ask what I feel. I ask, what does that feeling feel like? What does that remind me of? And I just keep going back and forth until I hit on something where I go, oh, I think I'm onto something. And there's like a big feeling of, ooh, I'm moving in the right direction. And then I ask more questions and more questions until I landed where I did.
And by the way, there's also an aspect of that that Joel would love tremendously. Because Joel's the one who constantly says, your excuses still aren't valid. And you were basically saying to yourself, those excuses aren't valid anymore. And you're saying to coworker, hey, those excuses, I mean, everything about it was, those excuses aren't valid anymore. In fact, they never were. They never were. But that's a key part. You have to be willing to get honest with yourself. That's really what excuses are. They're ways of avoiding being honest with ourselves. And your coworker obviously is still wrestling with that, but you aren't. You just broke through on that. That's fantastic.
Well, and one of the interesting points that I forgot to mention was earlier in my process of asking questions, I felt a feeling that I recognized as inconsistency.
Mm.
And I asked myself, okay, what about this is inconsistent? And I went, coworker A's words are saying one thing that on the surface seemed totally acceptable. But there was an energetic feeling that I sensed in the words and in the long description of why, you know, it is what it is. It's like, it's always over the top with this person.
Yep.
Like, it's never just, like, today when I went to lunch with my friend, I literally IM'd my boss. I didn't tell my boss what I was doing or where. I'm a grown adult. This is something totally acceptable. And I said, hey, FYI, I'm going to be out of the office for a number of hours this afternoon and unreachable. I didn't explain. I didn't try to build a business case why I deserve to take this time off and how I'm going to make up the time later when I come back later tonight. And I didn't explain any of it. And do you know what his response was?
Okay.
Okay.
That was it.
And I thought, now why is it that I could give something that was so curt, direct to the point without any frills to the person who basically, not really anymore, but signs my paycheck,
mm-hmm.
and he could be totally accepting of it? Because my energy was not trying to hide anything. I wasn't trying to deny anything. I wasn't trying to trick him into something.
Right.
I was just being honest. Hey, I just want you to know I'm not going to be available. So if you try to reach me, this is the reason why. Where coworker A, I just sensed that there's like subterfuge. Don't even know what that means. It just felt like the right word to say. Like,
it is a form of subterfuge.
And you know words better than me, so you could probably tell me if I'm using it right. But it felt like there was a covering up of something that coworker A didn't want to divulge, but was using the truth to kind of mask the subterfuge part.
Yeah.
And that's what I energetically sensed. And in that, that's where there was an incongruence. The word said one thing, but the feeling I received from it and all these extra explanations felt like it was really conveying another story.
And that's what subterfuge is.
Subterfuge
is essentially trying to deceive someone in order to achieve a goal, which is exactly what she was trying to do. That's exactly what she was doing.
My inner being handed me the word.
Absolutely correct. Yeah.
Huh.
And the interesting thing is what her goal was. Her goal was to abnegate responsibility, which is a really wild goal.
Yeah. And that's why the person who did it to me today, who I'm calling person B, did kind of the same thing. But I got to tell you, the explanation was so much briefer. It was more like, oops, I screwed up. I scheduled such and such, overlapping our time. Oops. Okay. Person B wasn't hiding anything. It's like, yeah, I did something dumb. Sorry.
Yeah,
and
no long-winded
acceptable.
Yeah, no long-winded explanations. Just, you know, I messed up. Sorry about that. Let's move on.
And I had no responsibility. Person B was not asking me to take any responsibility to validate her stupidity.
Exactly.
Or her lack of calendaring skills so that she didn't overlap things. It was just like, here's what it is. And my only thing is to either go, oh, okay, or not. But that's up to me. How I respond is up to me.
That's it. That's it in a nutshell. So now that we have connection with our inner being, we should learn a little bit more about what we do with that connection, although actually you gave a very eloquent description of what you do with it, but nevertheless, we'll do the official academic version as well.
Okay.
It says,
let's keep going in the book.
Yep. Your inner being or source energy always offers a perspective that is to your greatest advantage. Boy, was that true for you. And when your perspective matches that, then positive attraction is occurring. In other words, the better you feel, the better your point of attraction, and the better things are turning out for you. Boy, is that true. The comparative vibrations of your perspective and that of your inner being are responsible for this magnificent guidance that is always available to you. And since the law of attraction is always responding to and acting on whatever vibration you are offering, it is extremely helpful to understand that your emotions are letting you know whether you are in the process of creating something you want or something you do not want. How often do we miss that? I mean, how often do we miss it that our emotions are telling us we're creating something we do not want? Every time, really.
Tell me more about that.
Well, just, I mean, I'm saying it not because I don't know the answer. I know the answer is every time. I know it happens every single time. But human beings, we have a tendency to ignore those signals. We just don't pay attention when that bad feeling comes to us in the middle of you know, trying to you know, push whatever agenda we've got or accomplish whatever we're trying to accomplish. And we're just kind of bullying through and saying, well, I'm just going to ignore that feeling. We do it all the time, and yet our inner being is saying, wait, stop, red flag.
Well, you know, and I'll just using this example with, you know, my coworker person A. This has been going on for 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
And every time one of these things happens, I get this uncomfortable feeling, and I'll tell my friend about it, you know, who's not someone I don't work with, to try to, like, talk it through. But it's never gone anywhere except for me complaining about it and going, I'm not liking this. I don't know what to do about it.
Yeah.
But this feels really uncomfortable, and how can this person keep doing this?
That's right, yeah.
And just kept spinning it round and round. And, you know, I think for me, this is unfortunately, but typical, I have to have something happen so many times that finally I go, okay, all of my lovely strategies of how to not be affected by this, it's still not working, which means there must be something deeper going on, and every one of these uncomfortable feelings is my inner being letting me know there's a different way to think about this that has a much more positive light, but I wasn't really open to receiving it yet.
Yep.
But the last couple days, I went, I'm tired of this going on.
Mm.
Because now it's like it was so in my face, which is ironic because it was the least negative reaction I've had to all of the excuses that have gone before.
I would say it even borders on positive. So, yeah.
Yeah, and when I mentioned it to you, I was real, like on the call the other day, it's like you almost had more of a negative reaction than I did.
That's true,
I did. To defend why, no, I wasn't really being negative.
It's true, I did. Mea culpa.
But, you know, the cool part is because I shared it with you after the show, I recognized you were having a bigger reaction than me. What am I missing that Walt is getting? And I was asking that question. What does Walt know that I don't? You know, which to me points out to me the validity and the just the huge positive benefit of having people who are like-minded to share ideas with.
I have because to say, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say the feedback that you get from like-minded friends can be invaluable.
Oh, yeah. I agree. I've been noticing particularly on Facebook lately in Law of Attraction groups there, you often get somebody who is in a bad place and they're posting about it. And when they're posting about it, they're complaining that some X that they're trying to manifest isn't showing up. And then they're giving you this long list of reasons why it won't show up and why it shouldn't be the other way around and all this. I mean, it's just like this endless flow of negativity. And then they ask, why isn't it the thing is not showing up? And I just laugh at it when I see it. I mean, obviously, I don't laugh at them when I respond to them.
Right.
But it's just so blatantly obvious. And yet they don't see it. We don't see it when we're in the midst of something like that. That's what I was saying. How is it possible that despite the fact we have this constant flow of information to us from our inner being saying, hey, red flag, don't go there. That's a bad place. You won't like it. Trust me, you won't like it. And we just go there anyway. And we do it repeatedly. And then we do it again. And then we do it again. And then we say, well, why isn't this working?
So I feel that this warrants me to make this bold statement.
Okay.
Which is our inner being is always communicating with us. But if we don't yet that a negative feeling equals our inner being saying, hey, I think something different on this subject, that's why we miss it.
Yeah.
Because how often have we ever been taught or trained or come to understand our inner being is always speaking, our inner being is always guiding us, but we don't know what the guidance looks like, sounds like, feels like. And so here's like the piece I wanted to like throw out there on the megaphone. Negative feelings or emotions always equal our inner being is saying, hey, I think something different.
And that's something that's been a new thought to me. That's actually really the true answer to this little rant that I went on. Why is it that we don't notice it? Why is it that we don't recognize it? Like you said, we just never really make the connection. I didn't make the connection. I didn't realize that every emotion that I have is actually a reflection of the alignment or misalignment of my physical being with my non-physical being. I never made that connection until very recently reading Abraham. It's not something that's taught in the schools. It's not something our parents teach us. It's not something that society teaches us. So really, I guess I shouldn't be surprised that we keep doing the same thing over and over again because no one ever told us. So the good news here is that all of our listeners now no longer have any excuses because they've been informed. You now know for a fact when you've got those negative emotions, that's your inner being saying, stop!
That's right. Every negative emotion is a message to us that we are not thinking in the same way as our inner being.
That's right, yeah.
Our inner being is the part of us that is connected to all infinite intelligence. It's the part of us that is connected to whatever name you want to give it, source, higher self, you know, highest power, God. It's like our inner being is connected to that level of all-knowingness. And so a negative emotion is our all-knowingness saying, we're not thinking straight.
That's
Let's
right.
Let's get some alignment into better thinking.
I like the buzzer.
I mean, but isn't it interesting? Wouldn't it be nice if every time we were, like, misaligned, we hear,
That would be
Eventually,
good.
Eventually, we'd be so annoyed by it, we'd actually do something.
Yeah, that makes me think. I mean, the speaker board comes with little sound effects. Maybe I should actually introduce a sound effect any time that we have to do a brant.
That would be fun.
It'd also be kind of annoying after a while, but still.
We have this, you know, back to our subject, but we have such a phenomenal guidance system called our inner being.
Yes.
And our inner being communicates to us and through us, or to us, through our emotional responses to things.
There's also another piece that really helps anchor this down for me, that just nails it down finally and completely. And that is, I don't really see it quite so much in here. It's probably in what we just read, but I'm just not spotting it immediately. But in other materials that I've read of theirs, of Abraham's, they've emphasized that the inner being always, without exception, responds to us positively. In other words, they only look at the silver lining. Our inner being never looks at the dark cloud. It only responds to the good side. It's only looking at that side. So we can trust that when that red flag is coming up through our emotions and we're saying, oh, negative emotion, that's our inner being talking to us, we can be 100% confident that following that intuition and, in effect, turning it around is the right thing to do. It's safe. It's going to be good for us. It's going to produce a good result. It's not like our inner being is going to trick us, is what I'm saying.
Right. I mean, I've heard Abraham say that when we in human form cross over and make our transition into non-physical, we leave behind here on the earthly plane all negative thoughts, feelings, everything. And the only thing we take with us when we transition is everything positive.
That's
cool. Have you heard that before?
I have heard that, yes. I'm not sure I heard that through Abraham, but I've heard it through other sources for sure.
So when you think about it from that perspective, if all that goes with you from lifetime to lifetime, I'm kind of jumping ahead,
mm-hmm.
is the positive stuff and that which you've put into your vortex, then your inner being only is in the positive of everything you've ever asked for, even if you haven't yet created it in a physical lifetime. It's like everything positive is there. Everything of who we really are is there. Everything who we've expanded to be exists within our inner being.
Mm-hmm.
It's all good.
It is.
All good.
Yeah. In fact, I read something, I think it was, I can't remember if it was in this book or one of the others. I've been reading so many of these Abraham books lately. I don't even remember which one is which anymore. But there was one of them that was talking about, you know, they were just kind of talking on this subject in an introductory form. And I guess they were responding to a question. The question was, well, wouldn't it have been better if we had remembered all this great body of knowledge about what happened in the past lifetimes? And the response was, actually, before you got here, your agreement was that you weren't going to remember it because you knew that if you were burned down by all that other stuff that you dealt with in all the other lifetimes, you'd probably be just frozen in place. I mean, my words, not theirs. But basically, it would just lock you up. And that's, you know, that's pretty valid when you think about it, because, you know, if we have gone through all these other lifetimes and there were all these negative things that happened in those lifetimes, probably the last thing we needed to do is just burden our overworked subconscious mind with more negativity.
Well, and to that point, something, I don't think I've ever heard Abraham say it in this way before, but on the CD I was listening to while I was in the car today, they said something about, yes, you come into this lifetime where there is resistance. Like, as in, we know in advance that we're coming to a planet where there will be a lot of resistance. We're going to walk right into it.
Yep.
But what they said was, but we never intended, nor did we think before we came here, we were going to stay there and make a lifetime habit of hanging out there. The resistance was simply a mechanism to kind of create a launching pad for what we were going to prefer, what we wanted to expand into something new and different. But, you know, it was never meant to be our career, stay in the resistance of that which we came into on this planet. And I'd never heard that said that way before, and I went, that's kind of cool.
And once again, I'm hearing Joel Elston in the back of my mind saying, your excuses still aren't valid. In fact, my favorite one of his was the one that he posted on Facebook that he actually attributed to the U.S. Supreme Court. The Supreme Court has ruled that your excuses still aren't valid.
Well, you know, I know it was a huge turning point in my personal development when I came to the end of a different subject that, you know, I felt like, oh, my mother wronged me. Something that I'd been telling stories over for years. I had taken it to therapy for 4 years and still hadn't resolved it. My mother was still the bad guy in my story. I blamed her and blamed her and blamed her for this one thing in my life. And when I finally flipped the switch and recognized the incredible characteristics that have been developed in me because of this thing that I blamed her for so harshly, I was able to let go and say, thank you, Mom.
Mm.
Thank you for allowing me these circumstances. Thank you. You know, I was grateful for the energy that I absorbed without my conscious awareness of things that she had trained me in that are, quote, so not cool.
Yeah, right.
You know, I was believing things that did not serve me. But this is where Abraham's comment that, like, yes, we knew we were going to come into resistance, we just didn't expect you to live in it forever, comes into play, because I lived in it for decades until I learned law of attraction and I started to see the world differently and went, oh, I'm dragging my past into my present, and I've been dragging it here for a really long time.
Yeah.
And better yet, whatever circumstances by which we're not happy with actually create the polar opposite in our vortex. And it's like so much of who I have become was because of the very things that I blamed my mother for. I don't blame her anymore. I bless her for it. I thank her for it. She was just being her. She never did anything cruelly or harsh to ever hurt me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, did I end up being hurt by some of the things she said and did? Well, yes, of course. Who hasn't been hurt by things other people have said and done unknowingly? But I was never intended to make a career for things, especially now in light of realizing without that, I would never have become who I am today.
Mm. Yeah.
And my circumstance from today is just another one to add to the pile.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I don't know that I was blaming her about this situation, because I didn't even realize that what I'd been taught was how to deny my own inner being and how to feel like I had a gag order on me that I wasn't allowed to actually say, hey, this is not cool, when somebody does something inappropriate.
Whereas what was
so
really cool.
I hadn't blamed her because I hadn't even had the recognition yet.
Right. What was really cool was that was how you got to the point where you had the recognition that you really needed, which was the inner recognition. You got to, you paid attention to your emotional guidance system, as Abraham calls it. And you started taking signals, and you started putting those signals to use. I mean, the last two paragraphs of the chapter are basically directly tying into what you did. It says, you knew when you made the decision to come forth into this physical body that you would have access to this wonderful emotional guidance system, for you knew then that though your wonderful, ever-present emotions, you would be able to know if you were straying from your broader knowing or flowing with it. When you are giving thought in a direction of something that you want, you feel positive emotion. When you are getting thought in the direction of what you do not want, then you feel negative emotion. And so simply by paying attention to the way you are feeling, you will know at all times the direction from which your powerful magnetic being is attracting the subject of whatever you are giving your thought to. That's exactly the method you used. You used that method to come to this tremendous realization.
Absolutely. And now
that's so powerful.
Like, I'm over the moon excited for the recognition due to my exploration of I explored this negative feeling. And what came at the end of my exploration was this huge understanding of how I had denied myself my own voice and my own awareness of what I know. And I promise you, with that level of awareness that I have today, it's kind of like, you know, the yellow rubber mat that when you inflate it, not rubber mat, the rubber raft. Mm-hmm. Once you inflate it, you can't unflate it again.
Yeah, right.
It's out of the box. Well, this understanding for me, this awareness, it's like it's been let out of the box. I can't now unknow what I know because I know it. And I've lived all these years without this awareness, but now I have the awareness, and I'm so appreciative for
it. Oh, yeah. I mean, no way you'd ever want to give that up. That's like valuable. That's gold. Huge.
It's another piece of me knowing that I alone, with my inner being, equal my personal authority. There is nobody outside of me who has authority over me. Only I can choose for me. Only I can know for me. That's big, because how I grew up, that was an absent concept.
That's the ultimate in empowerment. And speaking of empowerment, we also want to take a moment to empower you, our listener. You can also be empowered to use the same tool. And in fact, we want to empower you in another way. We want to empower you to continue to listen to other episodes of the show. So if you have not yet subscribed to the podcast, like so many of us have done, take the time to do it right now. Go to the webpage at loatoday.net. Click on one of the links that says subscribe here. If you have an iPhone, it's going to be really easy. You just walk through the steps. If you have an Android phone, Samsung, Motorola, LG, Nokia, one of those, then you have to actually get an app from the App Store if you don't already have a podcast app. If you have a podcast app, obviously you just use that. If you don't have one, just download one. There are a lot of free ones. Podcast Manager is Wendy's recommendation, so it's a great one. And once you get the Podcast Manager, then use that to search for LOA Today. And when you've done that, you can subscribe, and now you're going to get every single episode we do automatically fed to your phone, so you'll never miss an episode, just like everybody else. I mean, literally, last month, Wendy, I think I mentioned this to you, but last month, the average listener listened to 30 of our episodes. I mean, that just shows. You have it on your phone. You it's right there. You can play it. You can use it. It's great.
It's cool.
It is
so
cool.
I'm so thrilled we have so many repeat listeners, because that really tells me that people are really digging what we're doing.
And don't forget to share when you subscribe too. You know, share with your friends. Hey, I subscribed, and you got to find about this too. You got to check this out because you're going to love it. Because that's the only reason more people aren't subscribed. They just don't know about it. So do your friends a favor and subscribe and share actually. And for those who need a little more personal attention, sometimes a phone call with a personal coach can help. How can they reach you, Wendy, if they need something like that?
Easy peasy. Go to wendydillard.com. All of my contact information is readily available there.
Perfect. Wendy, we did it again. We did another grand slam. Let's do it again tomorrow.
You got it. I'll see you all tomorrow.
Yep. We will see you all tomorrow as well here on LOA Today. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye-bye now.